because Arjuna is Krishna's eternal associate and friend, he can very easily understand what Krishna has to say. Others may find it difficult. Now, it appears at this point that Arjuna is bewildered, but actually he's asking relevant questions for the welfare of others who may not so easily understand. At the end of the Gita, Krishna comes to the point. It's Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Surrender to me. He could have said that at the beginning. At the very beginning, he could have said that everything else except pure devotion to me is useless, so give it up and only surrender to me. He could have said it, and Arjuna could have accepted it. But Arjuna is taking the position of a conditioned soul just so that we, who are conditioned souls, our questions may be answered. Because if we say to anybody that Krishna says, simply surrender to him, and people say, what? They'll bring so many doubts. Why Krishna? Why should we surrender to Krishna? So many doubts they'll bring. So there are so many doubts in every step of this philosophical understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Here we come across a common misunderstanding which often leads to questions such as, well, what if everybody in the world became Krishna conscious? Then there'd be no more factories or political parties, no more economic development. It would be a horrible situation, people are thinking. What would happen if everyone said, it's all right for you, you can sit in the temple and chant Hare Krishna, I have to go to work. I'm doing something practical for the country. I'm making plastic bathtubs. I'm making underwear for people. I'm doing good service. I'm making plastic ducks for people to put in their bath water. I'm making Mickey Mouse t-shirts. I'm doing something very valuable for human society. So you're simply escaping. Have you heard people say that? This is escapism. You should face up to the real world, lead a real life, go to work, work hard, relieve yourself from the stress and strain of working hard by smoking 20 cigarettes a day to add to the Bombay smoke. There's not enough smoke in the air in Bombay for people, so they smoke some more, 20 cigarettes a day. And get depression and commit suicide and be realistic. Face up to life. So these are some of the questions people ask. Here Arjuna appears to be bewildered that, why, on one hand, you're asking me simply give up everything. That's one extreme. Give up everything and just be a devotee. Renounce everything. And the other extreme, the renunciation of, on one hand there's the renunciation of work, and then there is knowledge in devotion. There's the idea of, another misunderstanding that someone says, I'm a karma yogi. Actually he's just a karmi. An ass is also a karmi. Karmi means someone who works. So the ass is working very hard. So if you think I'm working hard, therefore I'm a karma yogi, no. You're just an ass, that's all. You can call yourself a karmi, or if you were, call yourself an ass, whatever. But you like to say, I'm a karma yogi. But karma yogi means one who works, but he's not attached to the results. You'll find that so many businessmen or workers, they call, yes, I know Bhagavad Gita. Kavani vadikara ste mahaphalesha kutai. You see, I know Bhagavad Gita. That's all he knows. And he doesn't know what it means. He thinks that the meaning of this verse is that you should work hard like an ass. So I'm doing that, I'm following Bhagavad Gita. But actually, Krishna says that you have a right to do your work, but mahaphaleshu kadachana, you should not be attached to the results. And he'll say, I'm not attached to the results. I work hard, I get money, I give it all to my wife, I'm not attached. See, I'm a great devotee, a great devotion for my wife and my children, and I work, see, I'm working hard for them. And there's a difference. Why is Krishna explaining in Gita, karma, gyan, yoga, bhakti? Many times we hear people say, well, it's all the same. Whatever you do, whatever you think, it's all the same. But it's not all the same. Otherwise, why is Krishna explaining Bhagavad Gita? If everything's just the same, then you just have to say everything's the same. There's no need to speak Bhagavad Gita. Finish. Arjuna says, I don't want to fight. Okay, don't fight. Do whatever you like. Jo aapki ichha ho, vaise karo. Whatever you like, do it. Whatever you feel like, just do it. But this is not philosophy, this is animal life. You see, the dogs in the street, they don't sit down and discuss philosophy. They just do what they like, as much as they can, because if they try, just like they see, the food is there, they want to eat it. So they do what they like, they go to eat it, and the hot lorry owner does what he likes, he throws a stone at this dog. So he may think, I would like to do what I like, but he can't do what he likes. This is the illusion of Maya, that we think we can do what we like. Therefore the question of philosophy comes. When we try to do what we like, and we find that, well, I want to do what I like, but it's not so easy, because other people also like to do other things, and there's competition. The human society is full of competition. Who can get ahead, especially in the modern life? Who can get ahead? Who can be successful? There is competition. So always there's this in human society, in not only human society, in animal society also, there is some competition, struggle for survival, it's called, survival of the fittest. So everyone is struggling, but at the end, you struggle all your life, someone is successful, so-called success, this is a very important word in India today, you have to be a success. And the opposite of being a success is a failure. Wash you down the drain with the dirty water. You are a failure. If you don't earn a lot of money and wear fashionable clothes and talk in an American accent, you must speak English. Otherwise, you don't even come in the question. But you have to do all, you have to cut a profile. You have to wear foreign clothes and have your hair styled in a certain way and talk in a certain way. And when all these monkey rock groups come from the Western countries, you have to spend 2,000 rupees to go and see them. And then you are considered a somewhat of a success. That's the minimum. If you don't do all that, you're a failure. And at the end, what do you get? You get people come to your cremation, finished, and sniff a bit, and then they go on with their life. So this is life in the material world, simply struggling, and at the end, you get burned up, the body gets thrown on the fire, someone comes and smashes, your son comes and smashes the skull, and everyone goes away, and they go on and sniff a little bit, and then they forget about you forever, and then your children, they also go on the fire, and this is material life. So anyone who has more intelligence, they start to think, why? Then the question of philosophy comes. Dogs, there's no question of philosophy for them. In human life, there is the question of philosophy. Therefore, atato brahma jigyasa, now we have come to the human life, we should inquire into adhyatma. Kim tad brahma kim adhyatma? What is brahma? What is the meaning of spirit? What is the meaning of spiritual life? These questions should be asked. Otherwise, you may say I'm a karma yogi without having the slightest understanding of either what karma or yoga is, what to speak of karma yoga. Or you may say, I believe in this Swami or that Swami, I'm a follower of this Bapa or this Baba. You have no spiritual knowledge whatsoever. Spiritual knowledge means to understand what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna begins by telling us, we are not this body. This very basic question people don't understand. And they're talking, I'm a karma yogi. But they don't even understand the very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, that we are not this body. And what to speak of this somewhat intricate questions. Action, inaction. Inaction, inaction. And what is all this? People just want to go to a satsang, sing a few bhajans, and drink tea at the satsang. And it's all... This is people's idea of spiritual life. You go and you sing some bhajans, God help me, and God, you have no form, no name, no qualities, but anyway, help me. And drink some tea and go home and watch television and back to work again on Monday. So people have no idea what is spiritual life, what to speak of philosophy. And therefore they come out with these ridiculous propositions that, oh, this Krishna, but what will happen if everyone became a devotee of Krishna? What a terrible idea. You're just an escapist. No idea. Actually, you're not even qualified to ask a question. First you have to study. People come and challenge us. I think this, I think that. But can you imagine if you went to a congress of scientists? So you have no qualification in science. You're a complete layman. And you start asking, well, You're talking about atomic theory. I don't believe in that. And I, what is that? I have my own theory. You don't know. Therefore, you're not even qualified to ask questions. You're not qualified to speak. You should only hear and try to understand. You have to understand something about the subject before you can speak on it. But in modern society, mostly people are not in the slightest interested in spiritual life. But even if they are, then without studying, without learning, without understanding, without following, they like to give some comment. Because there are so many cheap so-called swamis who speak so many empty aphorisms. You see some bappas, they have their stickers and they write something on it. There's no particular meaning to it. It's just some, you remember me and I'll remember you, some baba says. I will protect you. Just no philosophy, no meaning, just some empty slogan. All paths lead to the same goal. Oh, sounds very philosophical. What does it mean? What is the meaning of it? No meaning, just people don't care to understand. So anyway, here the point is being made for those who would understand philosophy, and you should try to understand philosophy. Otherwise, if we don't try to understand philosophy, then the same point comes, we're just animals. Whatever we may dress up in fashion clothes, but it's just dressing up an animal. In the Western countries, and that's coming here too, because everything is done in the West, has to be done in India. In the West, they keep dogs in the house, and dogs pass stool in the house, and in India, now we have to have dogs in the house also. Fashion, it's a fashion. So in the West, they have dogs, they cut their hair, they have shampoo, special shampoo for dogs. So like that, you may decorate the dog, but a dog is a dog is a dog. And you may dress it up and have Miss World for Dog competition or something, dog show. But after all, a dog is a dog. So in the same way, a human being, you may dress him up and call him MA, PhD, fancy hairstyle, three-piece suit. You see, now it's marriage season. So all the people, all the men are dressed in these big three-piece suits, even though it's the winter, but it's still hot enough. So they're standing there in their three-piece suit. It's nonsense. It's foolishness. Because in the Western countries, where it's cold, they wear three-piece suits. So in India, we also have to wear three-piece suit. This means, what is the immediate analysis? It means no brain, not even for material matters. What to speak of spiritual matters? So you may dress up very nicely, but no intelligence. Why no intelligence? We have big companies and cellular phones. You see now people in Bombay. Whoever has a cellular phone, they have a hunkar this big. Their head is this big. You see them standing there like this with their cellular phone. See, I've got a prestige status symbol. I have a cellular phone. But what are they talking about? Uska kya baat hai? Simply business. Bring some money. And what is the goal of getting money? Build a house, prestige, eat nicely, have a nice wife, divorce her, get another nice wife. What is simply eating, sleeping, mating and defending? It is the totally doggish life. So really, even if you dress someone up, you put a very nice show on society, if there's no Brahma Jigyasa, if there's no inquiry into spiritual knowledge, then it's simply decoration for a dead body. You know, in some countries, especially a famous person, when he dies, they dress his body up and everyone comes to pay their last respects. Already he's died, he's gone to Yamaraj, and he's in hell being beaten with whips. And the body is there and people are coming and offering their last respects. You see, some big man, if he dies, John F. Kennedy, got shot dead, people came to pay their last respects. Then Lenin was there, his body for years. Still now they keep, everyone goes to see. Just like you may go on pilgrimage to some place in India to take darshan of Srinathji. So in Moscow people go to take darshan of Leninji. At least they used to during the communist time. So anyway, it's just a dead body. What is the use of decorating it very nicely? The body is dead. The body only has use as long as the soul is there. Once the soul is gone, it's a dead body. But anyway, the body is dead. Because the body is only chemicals. Life comes from the soul. So if we're only decorating the body, if our whole society is simply concerned with decorating the body, then what kind of society is that? The same consciousness level as the dog. That's all. Because the dog is only interested in ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha. And same thing, Roti Kaprama Kam. The best the political party can offer us, that they even come to, Roti Kaprama Kam. That the same interest the dog has got. So if that is our be-all and end-all of life, what is it? Dog love. Therefore, if we're actually going to be a human being, we should take interest. At least we should try to understand what is philosophy, what is Krishna talking about, what is Arjuna's apparent confusion. Action in inaction, inaction in action. So inaction in action means that someone may be performing many activities, but it doesn't produce any karmic result. Whatever we do in this world, there is a reaction. Either punya or pap or mixed, there is a reaction. Whatever we do, because whatever we do on our own behalf, whatever we do, as long as we're thinking that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, then whatever we do, actually, that is all within the platform of agyan. We are identifying with this body, trying to enjoy on the platform of the body. And that in itself is sinful. Actually, we talk about punya and pap, but actually everything is pap. What we call punya, it means it's a more sophisticated or less vicious form of pap. Because punya means that we're simply thinking how I can enjoy, I'll go to Swargaloka, or in my next life I'll have very good life. It's also selfishness, it's not Bhagavad Bhakti. Bhagavad Bhakti means giving up the idea that I am the enjoyer. But if you want punya, that also means you're thinking I will be the enjoyer. Now I'm doing something I don't want, I'm doing tapasya now. Now I'm suffering, but because of this, in future I will enjoy punya. So ultimately that's selfish also. To give up selfishness and to become selfless means to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, we'll find at the end of this chapter, Lord Krishna says, he summarizes all this chapter. This chapter, we'll find some discussion of action, inaction, how to live in this world without producing results. But Krishna summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita, every point, karma, jnana, yoga, ultimately comes to the point that everything becomes successful when we simply understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are His servants. Bhuktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyagamam shantim richati. As long as we think that everything in this world is meant for my enjoyment, and everyone is thinking like that, the dogs are thinking like that, we are also thinking like that. Therefore, unless we understand that I am not the enjoyer, Krishna is the enjoyer, everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment, then again we're on the platform of the dogs. So, bhuktaram yagya tapasam, Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. He is the proprietor of everything. Sarvaloka maheshwaram, we're thinking, let me control, let me become the possessor, let me become the owner. I will own more, I will develop my business, this is my house, my country. I will die for my country. We're thinking in terms of aham mameti, I and mine. But we have to understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And suhridam sarvabhutanam, Krishna is the friend of everyone. This is another kind of ahankar. If we think I am a great welfare worker, I am helping so many people. I am Rotary Club, Lions Club member. We are helping so many people by putting up bus shelters. We're doing tremendous service to human society so that people, when they have to go to a miserable factory or office, at least they can stand under a bus shelter. The few people who can. The line is already 10 times longer than the bus shelter. Few people are under the bus shelter. And there's a sign which is already worn off 20 years ago, donated by the Lions Club. So we're thinking we are helping other people. We are making hospitals and schools, we're helping, by making schools, we're helping people so they can get a degree and they can get a good job and then they can go and work in some office all their life in some miserable office, some miserable job. We're really helping a lot of people. But actually we can't help anybody. We don't have the power to. Krishna, He can help. All power is within Krishna's hands. Helping me, actually if we want to help people, we have to help people to come to Krishna. Because there's no welfare work in this material world. We have so many people, they have so much misunderstanding because they're on the bodily platform of life. They think this body is all in all. Therefore, they praise people just like some mother from Calcutta or something like this. They praise as a great welfare worker, done a great saint. They think that saintliness means opening hospitals, but they don't think that even if you open a hospital or a leper colony, that anyway everyone has to die. So how did you actually help them? Someone is in this body for a few seconds. It's just like someone's going to get executed. He's going to have his head chopped off. So while he's waiting, in five minutes time he's going to have his head chopped off. So in the 5 minutes you fan him with a fan. So is it, oh, wonderful. Thank you for helping me so much. I'm so grateful to you. You're the greatest helper I ever had in my life. What's the value? He's going to have his head chopped off. So how are you helping? Really, to help him means to save him from death. But that's not in your power. That's not in anyone's power. We all have to die, either by execution or by the force of time. Everyone has to die. We are in this body for a few days only. Someone we see, 50 years old, now they want to get married. And they're going to die in 5 days' time, 10 days' time, and they want to get married. This is, you see, someone they build up, they go to work, they say, first I want to get my business properly settled, then I'll get married. They get married at the age of 45. And already they're, more than half their life is gone. And they're looking for a life partner so they can live happily for all their life. But they're not going to live. And even if you get married at 20, still you're going to die in a few years. So we should understand that really helping others, we can't help people on the material platform. That help, that is not tangible. Real help means to help us to get free from death. We can get free from death by Krishna's blessings. Krishna is the friend of everyone. Therefore, if we want to be friends of others, we should bring them to Krishna. So all these points, these may seem to be complex points of philosophy, but ultimately the message of Bhagavad Gita is very simple, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Satyadananda Vigraha. He is eternally existent in a form of bliss and knowledge. We are also Satchidanandamai, but we are limited Satchidanandamai. Krishna is unlimited. He is unlimitedly great. We are very small. We are his eternal servants. If we simply understand that, then all points of philosophy are resolved. What is inaction in action means? Action, inaction in action means we have to act in such a way that there is no karmic result. And that comes when we surrender to Krishna, because then we stop acting on the selfish platform. Instead of thinking I'm doing something for my benefit, we're simply thinking I'm acting in such a way that Krishna may be pleased. Or one who sees action in inaction. Someone who may be apparently doing nothing. Apparently you're doing nothing on the material platform, but you're making spiritual progress. Just like people say, what are you doing? Hare Krishna, chanting, what is the value? Better you open a factory, something like this. But no, this activity, although it's not a material activity, it's a spiritual activity which carries us back to Godhead. So these points, as long as we don't understand Krishna, who is Krishna? What is devotional service to Krishna? Then Bhagavad Gita becomes very difficult to understand. As long as we don't understand what is the essence or the meaning of Bhagavad Gita, then it'd be all these points. Kim karma, kim akarma iti, kaviyo piyatra mohitaha. Lord Krishna says in the Gita, what is karma? What is akarma? There is karma, akarma, vikarma. What is proper activity? What is non-activity? And what is forbidden activity? Even the great sages, they may be bewildered in defining this. What is the proper thing to do? What is improper? You'll find these certain brahmanas, bhattacharyas, people used to go to them and say, I did such and such a sin, so what should I do? So one will say something else, someone will say something else. Just like lawyers, they'll have different opinions. So they may be bewildered. What is proper to do? What is not proper to do? Just like one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, this was 500 years ago, one Muslim sprinkled some water from his water pot on his head. So in those days it was considered that if you came in contact with the water used by a Muslim, then you also became a Muslim. Nowadays you go to the train station and you drink chai from the same glass. It's all the same. And according to the ancient system, you'd all be immediately converted to Mlecha. Actually, everyone is mlecha. Mlecha means who is eating meat. It doesn't mean who's non-Hindu is mlecha. Mlecha means someone who's eating meat. Yavan means, generally they take the word Yavan to mean Muslim. But Yavan means one who's not following the Vedic principles. So even the so-called Hindus today, they're all Yavans and mlechas also, because they're not following the Vedic principles. So in those days, they used to think that someone who got water sprinkled on his head from a Muslim's water pot, then he could no longer remain in Hindu society. So this one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Subuddhi Rai, he asked the different Bhattacharyas, what should I do? So one of them said, you should drink hot ghee and in this way end your life. So he had the good sense to ask someone else. He asked Lord Chaitanya and said, oh, you've been rejected from society? Good, that's very good luck for you. Now you no longer have to remain entangled in your family life. Go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. So he gave the right idea. But kaviyopi atra mohitaha, what is action? What is inaction? You know, even the learned people, they may be bewildered. Krishna says, kaviyopi atra mohitaha. Even people who are learned, even people who are learned in Vedic knowledge, they may be able to quote so many shlokas. They may be able to discourse on Samkhya philosophy or Advaita philosophy. But it may sound all very complicated. And that's what it is, complex, because they don't understand. If you actually understand what is the message of Gita, then everything becomes clear. Simply what is to be understood? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all His servants. If we understand this, then all the points of philosophy become crystal clear. But because people, they don't want to surrender to Krishna, therefore they twist up the meanings. They extrapolate some non-meaning, some opposite meaning from the actual meaning. You'll find so many editions of Bhagavad Gita are there. All these editions of Bhagavad Gita are brought out simply to deny Krishna. The whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to, Krishna is explaining, here I am, I'm God, you surrender to me and all your problems are solved. And he says this is the topmost knowledge. Why is it the topmost knowledge? Because all the so-called jnanis, they have the basic disease which everyone in the material world has, which means they are envious of Krishna. So they want to increase their ahankar. They want to be known as a great jnani, but they don't want to surrender to Krishna. So by reading Bhagavad Gita, they go actually further away from Krishna, because they're simply increasing their ahankar. I'm such a great learned scholar. But what is the point of Gita? To surrender to Krishna. They don't want to know. Therefore, we have to take Bhagavad Gita as it is, by understanding which everything becomes clear and straightforward. You may not like to accept the conclusion, we may not like it. If we are rascals, then we don't like to accept. We all have the rascal element within us, that's why we're in the material world. Therefore we protest, why should I surrender to Krishna? I'm such a great person. Who is this Krishna? Why should I surrender? I can also become Krishna. Why only to Krishna? There are so many gods. Oh, Krishna was so many years ago. Nowadays we have so many new incarnations. So many objections they'll bring. But if we are actually sincere and serious, we'll understand. Krishna is accepted by all great acharyas. Throughout all these scriptures, Krishna is established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gita is accepted as the essence of all spiritual knowledge. Sarva Upanishado Gavo. This is the essence of all the Upanishads. And in the Gita, Krishna clearly establishes himself as the Supreme Lord. Mata parataram nanyat kincirasti dananja. Nothing or no one is greater than me. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam prabhavate. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam. I am the seed of all existence. Pita aham asya jagata mata dhata pitana. Krishna says, I'm the father, the mother, the grandfather, I'm all in all within the universe. So very clearly he is established as the Supreme Lord. And very clearly he tells us to surrender to him. So if we do that, everything becomes crystal clear, everything becomes straightforward. Therefore we request you, please take it, Bhagavad Gita as it is, follow it. Follow it means in this age we should chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And don't make all these different avoiding objections. Simply what Krishna says, accept. If we have some difficulty to understand, we should ask. But don't try to avoid Krishna. Just take Krishna's advice. He says, surrender to me. If we surrender to him, all problems finish. Jeev Krishna Das, Evishas, Korle Ta Aradukha Nai. Simply we have to accept Krishna is the Supreme Lord. I'm his servant. All problems finished. It's that easy. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any question, please? Any question, please?
What are Vedic principles?
There are many Vedic principles. The most basic Vedic principle in which all other Vedic principles are resolved is to surrender to Krishna by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Within that basic principle, there are many other sub-principles which are described in detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, beginning with accepting a spiritual master, taking shelter of a spiritual master, taking initiation from him, taking instruction from him. Then there are principles engaging in Sankirtan, studying Srimad Bhagavad Gita, studying Srimad Bhagavatam. These are all Vedic principles.
What is the difference between philosophy and religion?
Religion means in practice. Philosophy means in theory. We may, yes, philosophy means this is like this, this is like this, this is like this. Religion means actually to put it in practice. Dharmam hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma, that is defined by dharmaraj, yamaraj, as following the instructions of God. So philosophy means to understand those instructions, and religion means to put it in practice. That's real religion. Religion doesn't mean going to a temple and putting 10 rupees in the box and praying to God to give you a lakh of rupees. That's not religion. Good business.
Atma is part and parcel of Krishna, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, why has it become necessary to chant Hare Krishna? Supposing I start chanting Hare Krishna in this life,
yeah,
I won't attain the love of Godhead. I will go back.
Why shouldn't you attain love of Godhead if you chant Hare Krishna?
You should attain it. So, that's a normal question that any normal human being will ask.
Which question?
I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I don't attain the love of Godhead in this life. In this kind of life.
Well, that's up to you. If you want to make a show of chanting Hare Krishna, then you won't attain Krishna consciousness in millions of lifetimes. But if we're actually sincere, then there's no reason why we can't attain love of Godhead in this lifetime. And it's up to us. If we want to be rascals, we can chant Hare Krishna and make a show. But if we're serious, then we'll follow all the principles very seriously. And by Krishna's grace, Guru's grace, we'll go back to Krishna. Why should we even think, I'll chant Hare Krishna and make some plan to stay here also? What funny mentality is that? Why should we want, if you have this philosophy, you have the philosophy and the process, and then you want to use it for something different, I'll stay here. Anyway, I'll stay here. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but anyway, I'll stay in this material world. What more foolishness is that? There are people, you'll find, especially I've seen in Bengal, because that culture is there of chanting Hare Krishna, but it's so mixed up with commercialism. You see here also, there's so many bhajan singers. It's all professional. They're singing, you are the Prabhu, and I am the Das, and playing on the tabla like this. And it's all, you see on TV, it's all just a show, it's all commercialism. There's no, you are the Prabhu. It's all just for show. You can do that kind of tabla playing musical performance for millions of lifetimes, but it's only a performance. They don't actually want love of God, so you don't get it. God, if you want to stay in this material world for millions of lifetimes, God will give you a facility.
How did Krishna remove Arjuna's confusion in this verse? And he said, Arjuna was thinking, should I act in renunciation or should I work? Why shouldn't I work? when I'm on the right path?
Well, that's the whole Bhagavad Gita. Especially in this chapter, immediately Krishna answers that both the renunciation of work and work in devotion are good, but of the two, work in devotional service is better than the renunciation of work. He very clearly answers it. Simply to give up your work, that is one thing, but to act in a spirit of renunciation, that is better. Ultimately, we have to know what Krishna wants us to do. That is the ultimate standard of judging everything. What is the topmost religion? That means what Krishna wants us to do. How should we act? Should we simply stop all activities and go to the forest? Or should we sit in the temple and chant Hare Krishna? We have to see, what does Krishna want us to do? In this age, Krishna recommends through the Shastra, and personally as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes, tells us to chant Hare Krishna. He's given us this whole process of devotional service to follow.
Even if you are surrendering to Krishna, why is that actually your sufferings or sorrows are not reduced in the during death or during birth?
During death?
Yeah. Why still you keep on suffering from diseases? Why?
They may even apparently increase. But for one who is on the path of devotion, on the path of surrender to Krishna, his suffering is different from that of an ordinary materialistic person. A materialistic person suffers, his suffering is karmic reaction. A devotee who's on the path of surrender, now one thing, even if he has suffering, he doesn't feel it in the same way, because he knows, I'm not this body, I'm the servant of Krishna. So suffering is actually, happiness and distress is actually perceived on the platform of the mind. Someone may be apparently suffering many difficulties, but if their mentality is such, they don't feel suffering. Whereas someone else, they may have all facilities for material enjoyment, but they may be miserable. So a devotee, by philosophical understanding, devotee thinks in his humility, because I'm sinful, therefore I'm getting this reaction. Actually, I should get much more because I'm very sinful, but Krishna has just given me a little. Now, another point is, there are various points, that the suffering of a devotee, it's minimized. In other words, we may have to suffer so many different things, but just some little is given, just to remind us, because we are on the path of surrender, just to remind us that this material world is miserable. That, so for a devotee, that suffering becomes an extra impetus to keep him firm on the path of devotion. Another reason may be that a devotee is tested, that how much are you going to stick to Krishna? Are you just coming to Krishna just for a comfortable life? If you think that I'll come to Krishna conscious and then Krishna will come and fan me, I won't have any problem. If it's hot, Krishna will come and fan me. I won't have any difficulties. Krishna has to solve all my difficulties. If it was like that, then many people would come to devotional service out of selfishness. But Krishna wants to see that his devotees, they will stick to his lotus feet. Even if there are many difficulties, they won't leave him. So there are various reasons that devotees may go through difficulties. And that is the test Krishna sees. Someone is sticking. Despite all difficulties, there are many people who, there's some difficulty, they blame, oh, this is all God's fault, you see? I don't believe in God, there's so much, I'm suffering so much, it's all God's fault. And then when he gets something good happens, he takes the credit, I did it. And something bad happens, it's God's fault. So that's not the attitude of a devotee. Devotee, in Sukh and Dukh, he simply says, anyway, whatever is there, let it be, I'm going to go on serving Krishna.
Krishna has enjoyed the other servants. Mm. So whatever work we do, we are not supposed to enjoy it, right? Mm. So, but how is it possible? Because everything you like, you enjoy, then only you do it.
The question is that Krishna is the enjoyer, we're not supposed to enjoy anything. We're not supposed to enjoy the fruits of our activities. We're supposed to offer everything to Krishna. But the nature of the living being, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna is full of enjoyment, our nature is also to be full of enjoyment. Anandamaya Vyasat. Both Krishna and the Jiva are joyful by nature. But if we think that I will directly enjoy anything, then actually we don't enjoy, we just become frustrated. But if we think I will offer to Krishna, then by doing that, we automatically enjoy. Just like if the hand thinks that I'm serving the stomach by putting food in the mouth, let me enjoy the food directly. So he just simply tries to mash the food and try and enjoy it. Like if the other bodily organs try to enjoy the food, denying the stomach, then they will become weak. But if they give food to the stomach distributes energy to the rest of the body. So that's a crude example that we have to know where everything has to be put by which we can be benefited. So we are joyful by nature, but our nature is also to serve Krishna. So when we serve Krishna, that's natural, then naturally we become joyful. But if we try to deny serving Krishna, then of course Krishna, he's not affected, but we become affected because we are out of our natural position. So it's not that we don't enjoy. Devotee, they're the only happy people in the world. Everyone who's trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, they're simply suffering. Devotees are happy because they don't care about their own happiness. They only think about Krishna's happiness. And automatically they become happy. That's philosophy. Religion means do it and you find out practically.
Okay. I've attended your institution at Girgaon Chopati. I saw one day Rishikesh Mahapatlal was sitting beside me. Everybody was seated equally in that same place. There was a photograph of Swami Prabhupada. Instead of looking at him, people were looking at him. Why is it so?
That's called Maya. They were looking at Rishikesh Mahapatlal. Yeah, well, in this material world, people think someone who's got a lot of money is important.
Even the same case with Mr. Srichand Hinduja, who makes so much donation through this institution, ISKCON and all that. Instead of looking at Swami Prabhupada, they're looking at him. Why is so much importance to such people?
Once someone asked Prabhupada that, why do you give, it seems that you, in your institution you give more importance to rich people. Prabhupada laughed and said, I'm not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have to spread this movement all over the world. For that, money is also required. So if someone, by the grace of Krishna, he has got a lot of money and he's inclined to this movement, so we can do mushti dan also. We can do that. We can take 5 paisa from everybody. But if one man immediately can build a big temple by which so many people can be benefited just by one man doing, then why not give him little attention? He can do more service for Krishna like that.
Don't you think that is false ego?
If it's done for Krishna, no. He may have false ego, thinking I'm giving so much donation. That may be there. But even a person who gives 5 paisa may have false ego, thinking I've seen that. Sometimes we see people, they become life members of our institution giving 10,000 rupees. And then after that they behave as if they own the whole institution. They think, oh, I'm a life member. So that may come with anybody. Therefore, for everybody, whether they're Sri Chand Hinduja or whoever they are, we ask them, take prasad, chant Hare Krishna, read these books, try to understand the philosophy. Rishikesh Mahapatlal is doing that. He's initiated devotee, he's chanting 16 rounds. And you can't blame him because he's got a lot of money and say, hey, get out of this temple. And if people look at him, well, they may look at him. Even we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sanatana Goswami, he was the minister in the court of Nawab Hussain Shah, who was the emperor of Bengal at that time. So he was a Muslim, means cow eater. When he came in the assembly, everyone stood up and all the Brahmins gave him respect. Why? Because he was in the position of a king. Naranam cha naradhipam, Krishna says in Gita, that the king represents me. So anyone who has a little opulence, that's also in one sense representation of Krishna. So we're living in this world, we are doing Krishna's work, We have to do it according to the ways of the world. Just like Arjuna, he had to fight. There's a certain system for fighting. That was his service to Krishna. So we also, our service to Krishna is preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. So for that, money is required, brains are required, organization is required. We could just sit around the tree and chant Hare Krishna. But to do our service to Krishna, we may have to bring in computers, we may fly in airplanes, we may do so many things which may appear to be materialistic to people who don't understand what is the difference between action and inaction, what is actually desirable to Krishna. When this one point is there in the center, how to please Krishna, and everything. You plant the plant and you put fertilizer and you know, you make so many plans, we'll get this much yield and this and that. But if the wild boar comes or the mad elephant comes, then you get no yield. Then it's Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there's no loss or diminution. Neha Vikrama Nasho Sti Pratyavayana Vidyate Swapam Apyasi Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat. In Krishna consciousness, there's actually no failure, because whatever you do is an eternal, to your eternal benefit. But really we should try to see how to go forward all the way, back home, back to Godhead, not get stuck. Because I remember first Mayapur festival I went to, Prabhupada had said that he was stressing that don't come back. Make your plan to go back to Godhead. Don't come back. This Kali Yuga, he said, it's already so horrible. And you don't know how much more nasty it's going to become. This stage will come where people, they can't even live in human civilization together. They can't live in the city at all. They'll have to run away to the forests and live in the caves. That time will come when people will eat their own children. There's nothing else to eat. Anyway, they're taking pleasure in that. You have children to eat them. So you don't, as you said, don't Prabhupada is stressing very strongly. Don't come back. So there's no loss or diminution. There's no failure in Krishna consciousness. But that's another thing Prabhupada said, that one who does not come to Krishna consciousness is very unfortunate. One who does come to Krishna consciousness is very fortunate. But one who comes and then goes away again, he is the most unfortunate. Now, of course, in one sense, he's not, because he made some advancement and he's gone forward. But this we can understand, it's just like if a beggar is a beggar on the street, he's a beggar on the street. But if he gets lakhs of rupees, and then he enjoys a better taste, something better, and then again he just squanders it and loses it, and again he's a beggar. Then before he was a beggar, he was just content being a beggar. And he had some kind of happiness being a beggar. But now he can't be happy because he's used to something else. And we practically see that even the materialists, they have some illusion of being happy. But those who have been in devotional service and again go away, it's very difficult for them, even though they may try hard. Actually, you don't see it this much in India, because everyone's a devotee. And even if they go away, they keep in contact. In the West also, they keep in contact. But because of coming from a bad background, then they go back to... And just the whole society is very entangling, and you may get involved in some illicit activities and this and that. And they're miserable, and they know they're miserable. Even more intelligent karmis, they know they're miserable.